It is good once again to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. God has been very, very good to many of us, better than we deserve. It is good to see some faces that I haven't seen in a while, and hopefully we will continue to see them.
Amen.
As the scripture reference from the book of Job chapter 1 was read, I wonder, did we really see what was going on? Did we really understand that as we go about our busy schedules, that we give the old devil too much credit? We say things that we should be ashamed of, because he can do nothing without God allowing him to. The scripture again, starting with verse 6, Job chapter 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? But there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Does he fear you for anything, for nothing, Lord? Does he fear? I believe that as we think about Satan, we think that Satan can read our minds. He does not have that power. Now he knows, Brother Brian, when you're weak, because he sees your actions. He knows when he gets you down, how he can keep you down. He knows the things that are going to pull you away from the Lord. He knows all these things, but he does not know your mind.
Amen.
So God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? And I want us to understand this morning who Satan is. By understanding who he is, we understand what he is not. You know, you want to read about somebody, if you want to learn about somebody, you get the book that talks about them. Well, we're gonna learn about Satan on this morning. Those that are in sin, they are of the devil. What is sin? James states, James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. You know what you're supposed to be doing and you're not doing it, you are of the devil. We should not give place to him. Don't give him any credit. Don't give him any room to be with you or to dwell within your tabernacle.
Amen.
Don't do it. We should resist him.
Amen.
You know, somebody trying to give you something you don't like, you say, I don't want that. But Satan is offering you something every day. What are you saying to him? Give it to me and give me more of it. Satan is determined to get people to serve him.
Yes. Amen.
He's determined. He's not going to give up. From day one, when we see him in the garden until the last day, Satan is going to try to get as many people as he possibly can to serve him. We don't have to. He walks about as a roaring lion. We're going to see that in this text or in this sermon on this morning. You know, when you see a roaring lion come around in your neighborhood, the first thing you do is you run in the house and you lock the door. You call 911. You know, I'm in the city. Where did this animal come from? You may say it's natural to have that in the country, but not even in the country. They're not like that. But Satan is walking around trying to find out who he can devour. He uses wiles. He's scheming. He's a master of trickery. He's going to do all he can in his power. Hear that again. In his power that he can to get you to serve him. His power, my brothers and sisters, is limited. It is limited. We must not be ignorant of his devices. We must do the things that are right. To properly resist Satan, we must equip ourselves. The book of Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
Why? To quench every fiery dart that the devil throws at us. Whatever he brings our way, we can resist those things if we have the whole armor of God on. But if we don't have it on, we're not going to be able to resist. We must use the word of God for direction. The Bible tells us we're supposed to pray. The Bible tells us we're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable. The Bible tells us we're supposed to love Jesus. We're supposed to keep his commandments. If we do these things, we can resist the devil. We can resist him. Know your enemy. Know him. Someone to come and tell you somebody is after you. What are you going to do? You're going to first off ask them who that somebody is. Give me all the information that you can give me on this person so I can know them when I see them. Looking at a TV program the other day, and he said, when you see their eyes, shoot. He said, no, you got it all wrong. It's when you see the whites of their eyes, shoot. He said, you shoot when you want to, and I'm going to shoot when I want to. Know your enemy. Know it. If you don't know your enemy, you think that he's your friend.
Amen.
Satan, he's the supreme evil spirit. The most evil that is here is Satan. You know, I know that Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. But he is not chiefer than the devil. Was not. He's considered to be the adversary. Satan, by definition, means adversary. He's against us. He's not for us. Means us no good. All he means to us is harm. He wants to pull us down. He wants us to go where he is going. Want to take as many as he can. But we don't have to go there. We don't have to go there. He's considered to be the serpent in the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 9 and also 20 verse 2. We're just gonna call out these scriptures. We're not going to read them. And we write them down if you can. Write them down. I just want you to know your enemy. He's the god of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. The God of this world. Look at the G there. It's not a uppercase G. It's a lowercase G. He has no authority over God Almighty. No authority. He's the prince of this world in John chapter 12, verse 31. You know, and just because he's the prince of this world doesn't mean that he's the ruler. God is the ruler. Christ is the ruler. Satan is the prince of this world. prince of this world. The prince of darkness in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. No good goes on in darkness. But Satan, the Bible tells us, is the prince of darkness. But there are many people that are doing works out there in darkness where Satan is the prince. Where Satan is the prince. He's the accuser in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. He's the liar and the father of lies. John chapter 8, verse 44. If he's a liar and the father of lies, what is good about him? What is good about him? One thing that we must understand about Satan in order to know him is that he knows Scripture better than most of us. He knows Scripture. But when he calls out these Scriptures, he's trying to twist them in order to get you to think that it's saying one thing where it's actually saying something else. Just as he did in the beginning. Oh, you shouldn't surely die, he told Eve. Oh. So what Satan was doing was trying to get Eve to say that God was a liar.
All right.
And the father of it. God did not create lies. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, like a roaring lion, he's devouring lion. He's seeking, he's walking, trying to figure out who he can demolish, who he can tear apart. And you know what? He's going to get somebody. He's going to get someone, as Brother Mike was praying, for those that have gone through those doors, never to return, he's going to get them because they're out there by themselves. The lost sheep. That's who a roaring lion gets. You know, why don't you be one that God would say, have you considered my servant John? Have you considered my servant Mike or Betsy or Sue or Mary or any of us? Can God say that about us to Satan? But Satan realized that we're serving God and we're not going to turn back. But yet he gives Satan the permission to tempt us because he knows that we're going to stay strong. He knows that we're going to continue to hold to his unchanging hand. Is God able to say that about us this morning? Have you considered my servant Job, who's a just and upright man? Can God say that about us? Satan and his work seen in the book of Job. That's what I want you to look at this morning. Satan and his work seen in Job. This lesson is not that long, but it's long enough for us to understand that Satan has limited power given to him by God. Given to him by God. Two people in particular that we want to really think about. We start talking about the limited power. And in this power that Satan does not have, but he does things by permission. One was with Job and the other one was with Peter. And we know the outcome of both. We know how Job never turned his back on God. And we know how Peter denied Jesus three times, but in the end, he became a spokesman for the body of Christ to preach the first gospel message. Satan and his work seen in Job. He's accountable to God. We find in Job chapter 1, verse 6. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. If he didn't need God's permission, why did he come with the sons of God to be among them? You know, it doesn't say exactly what Satan was doing before he came. It just said where he had been. But I just want you to think about it. You can go all the way back to the garden and you can come all the way forward and look at some other things and some other people that were tempted to do things wrong and they did wrong. Satan was out there stirring up evil. He was out there sowing in the minds of men that you do not have to listen to God. But Satan is accountable to God. In Job chapter 2 verse 1, again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And I want you to think about these sons of God, messengers, angels of God, messengers coming to get their duties. This is what I need you to do. This is what I need you to do. This is what I need you to do. And here comes Satan. Lord, I need something to do too. You know, you gave me, Job, to do this to him, but he still is not bowing down to me the way I want him to. So here he is again in Job chapter 2, verse 1, for some more duties. And let's just look at it. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and shunned evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? Now you would say, Job is a bad man. But Job didn't do this by himself.
Amen.
He did this with the help of God. He did this because he had been relying on God throughout the years. And remember that Job offered up sacrifices for his kids because he thought that maybe they have sinned in some of the deeds in which they were doing. Job was a good man.
Amen.
But the old devil, again, he wants him. He wants to pull him away from God. He wants to do something to him to make him turn his back on God. And the Bible says in verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea. All that a man had will he give for his life. And put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now this is the devil. Remember, I already told you that he's the liar and the father of lies. He said, if you do this, Lord, if you would just remove these things, if you would just allow me to have skin for skin and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. You see the limited power that Satan has? You go ahead and do that, Satan, but spare his life. What if Satan said, well, I want his life? Could he have had his life? The answer is no. I'm just telling you what you can't do. Don't do this, but even if Job had died, he still would have been right with God. Because God is looking at Job's life, and he is saying, Job will not turn his back on me. So this is what I want you to do. I just want you to go ahead and have skin for skin, and I want you to go ahead and touch his bone and his flesh. Go ahead and do those things, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot until his crown, from top to bottom. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Now I want you to look at this next verse. And Job said unto his wife, let's just read it, because I like this. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now, without reading verse 10, who does this woman really sound like? Who does she really sound like? She sounds like the devil. She sounds like the devil. He didn't say, now, Satan, why don't you go over there and take Job's wife? Touch her bone. Touch her flesh. He didn't say that, did he? Why? Because she would not have been able, I don't believe now, the Bible doesn't say it, but I don't believe that she would have been able to stand as Job stood.
Right.
These things were not even happening to her, they were happening to Job, but she told Job, why don't you curse God and die? Sounds like Satan. Verse 5. Put forth thine hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. That's what the devil said. And now his wife is saying the same thing. But Job was easy on her. He said, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. He knew who was his friend. He knew who was going to allow him to stand. He knew this. He knew that this was God. And he still did what he was supposed to do.
Amen.
Satan is accountable to God. God knows his mind. God knows his mind just like he knows our minds. Going back to verse 8, you know, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Do you think that God asked Satan this question? You know, remember the question that God had already asked people earlier throughout the books here, in the book of Genesis, when he asked Adam and Eve, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of that tree that I told you not to eat of? He already knew the answer. And so I do believe by looking at this question that God is asking Satan here, Satan had already considered Job. That's the person I want right there. You know, he already got his wife, it looks like, but I want Job. You know, those of us or those of you that Satan already has, he don't even want to mess with you right now because he already got you. He wants that other person. He wants Brother Ollie. He wants Brother Tanopoulos. He wants Brother Butch. He wants Gary. He wants Roland. He wants men that are standing up for the truth. He wants men that have turned their back on him. That's who the devil wants. He wants you to face him. He wants you to stand up to him. He wants you to say, you know, Satan, yes, I do believe that I cannot win. That's what he wants. But Job wasn't that type of person, was he? He's behind the evils of the earth. In Job chapter 1, verse 7. In Job chapter 2, verse 2. Let's just read verse 2 of Job chapter 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Lord, I got a lot of people now, but I need one more. You know what he sounds like? He sounds like a child there with candy all around him, and then they see another piece over here. They have all this, but yet they still want that one over there. Never satisfied. I said children, but we know how we are as adults as well, right? You want your cake and you want to eat it too. Can't have both. But the Lord is giving Satan permission here to test old Job. Job did not give in. Job did not give in. He can do nothing without divine approval. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Nothing at all. He needs approval. His place has already been prepared. But now he wants to take some with him. But he needs some approval. We already see what's going on in the life of Job, but let's look at the life of Peter just for a moment here. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And now, can you imagine that conversation? Jesus, you told Peter that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me just have him one time. This is old Satan. Let me have him one time. You know, I'm just speculating now because he desired to sift him as wheat. And you know, Satan, he knows who he can get and he knows who he can't get. But Peter he was a little bit different from Job. Peter wasn't that individual that was upright. Peter wasn't the one that was just. Peter wasn't the one that assured evil. Peter was the one that thought he was all that and always ready to fly off the handle. Lord, I am so good, I will never fall. That's the type of person Peter was. He said, but I have prayed for thee. This is Jesus now. I have prayed for thee that thou faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What did Jesus tell Peter? He told him, Satan wants you. And Peter, I just want you to know, he's going to get you. But when you are converted, you strengthen your brother. I don't know if anybody else see that there, but I see it. And the Bible says, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Now, the Bible said that Satan was the liar, didn't he? And the father of it. What is Peter doing right here?
All right.
I believe Peter is lying right here.
All right.
He don't know he's lying, but Peter is lying right here. And the Lord, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto him, when I sit you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacketh ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Let him buy one. Now we know what Peter did. There when Judas betrayed the Lord, and there they were, and Peter was asked the question, are you with them? No, you sound like them. I'm not with them. Not with them. By the third time they asked, Peter didn't curse the Lord, but he did curse, didn't he? Told you I'm not with them. I don't know what words he used, Brother Mike, but that's a good one that you can put in your paper. Might know what I'm talking about. Peter, when he heard that cock crow, he went out and he wept bitterly. Satan had him. But later he was converted. See, we have to know Satan. And we have to understand with even with approval there's limitations.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm praying for you, Peter. I'm praying for you. See, we need somebody like Jesus praying for us that we don't stay down in the dumps. We need someone not like Job's wife saying, why don't you curse God and die? But we need someone saying that, you know, you can rise from the position in which you're in. Satan cannot keep you down because Jesus is on your side. That's what we need. Two times with Job, he was limited to what he could do. And we can go back and we can look at all that Job lost, and you can count many other times, but he was limited. Two times with Job. Family should not keep us from serving God. Whether they're here or whether they're there, they should not keep us from serving God. Lands should not keep us from serving God. Cattle should not keep us from serving God. And we see this in Job's life. These things did not keep Job from serving God. But as long as he continued to serve God, we see that all he lost, that God gave him more. All that he lost.
Amen.
God has given us some things on this day. He's given us a family. A family of brothers and sisters and mothers. He's given them to us. And with this family that we have, we need to continue to say, God, it is you who I'm going to serve. Not the devil, but you I'm going to serve. Why? Because Satan has no heaven to put you in. Satan has no hell to put you in, but he want to take you to hell with him. But you don't have to go. You don't have to go. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. And you, for the first time, have really seen who Satan is. And this is just not all that he is. The Bible tells us more about Satan, but this is just a little bit about him. You see who he is, and you can look at your condition and you can say, it's because of Satan that I am where I am.
Right.
And I don't need him in my life anymore.
Amen.
You know, Satan always want to go along with you. He always want to be your friend. But when the rubber meets the road, just look around and see who's really there. Satan is not going to be around because he already has you where he wants you. He's going to leave you. He's going to forsake you. He's going to say, you're on your own now. You got yourself into this mess. You get yourself out of it. But God is not like that. God is not like that. He's waiting to give you a home. He's waiting to make you part of his family. If you're here and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, the opportunity is given to you to come forth and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away in the water of every baptism. Acts chapter 8, again, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Acts chapter 8, when Philip was preaching unto the eunuch. The Bible says there in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? What does hinder me? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they commanded the chariot, or he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. That's all it takes. For you to understand that you are lost, for you to understand that Jesus is the Christ, for you to understand that he is the Son of God, and for you to understand that you need to be baptized in order to be saved. That's all it takes. And you too can be a child of God. And what happens after that? The book of Matthew chapter 28 teaches us that you go out and you teach and you baptize and you continue to teach. We don't baptize you and you just say, well, go on about your merry way now and do what you want to. And he say, well, keep reading, Brother Melvin. Keep reading. The Bible does say that when they came up out of that water, the Spirit called Philip away and the eunuch went away rejoicing. Well, the eunuch went away rejoicing because he had some good news to go and share to others. And as he shared that news to others, I'm pretty sure that there were others that were baptized and they began to continue to teach, read the scrolls that the eunuch had with him and continue to teach those things that they learned. That's what we want to do today. We want to continue to teach you so that you may learn the right way. And then you back up in the book of Acts chapter 8 if you are a Christian and you have strayed away. We find that Simon the sorcerer, the Bible tells us, who also believed the preaching, and he also was baptized. But then he sinned. He thought that he could buy the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in verse 19, saving, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. There is neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of thy wickedness. Repent. And pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. There are many people like that who have obeyed the gospel, but yet their heart is not right in the sight of God. They need to repent. But you may not feel like that you can pray for yourself, as Peter told Simon the sorcerer, then do what Simon the sorcerer did. Then answered Simon and said, there in verse 24, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which thou hast spoken come upon me. We need to ask people to pray for us when we can't pray for ourselves.
Amen.
We need to make sure that we keep our lives in order with God's word. And we need to make sure that we continue to preach and teach God's word the way it is written. Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God, but you're ready to become one on this day. Don't delay, for tomorrow is not yours.
Right.
Maybe you're straight away and you're ready to come back to the fold. Don't contemplate in your minds. Do not go back and forth. Come back to the fold before it is too late. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.